Coming to you from the Deep South, this is the Blue Collar Leadership Podcast. High impact leadership is not reserved for leaders, and it has nothing to do with your position, title, or rank. However, it does have everything to do with your character. It's time to climb to the next level and beyond, personally and professionally. Now, let's start making it happen with your host, Max Story.
Hello, and thanks for stopping by the Blue Collar Leadership Podcast today. So today's episode 300. This is my fifth year of doing these podcasts. And I know some of you reach out to me and tell me you've listened to every episode. There's even some of you that tell me you've done it more than once. Meaning you went through all of my podcasts. And then you went back and started over. What's awesome about those of you who share that with me, every single one of you that say that, tell me how much more you get out of the podcast the second time around. I don't just mean listen to the same podcast twice in a row in the same day. I'm talking about you listen to today. Now, if you're listening now, there's 300 episodes. So if you listen to 300 episodes, it's going to take you a while. By the time you get done listening to 300 episodes, if you go back and you start at number one and go back through them again, if you've been actually growing, which you had to be growing to listen to 300 episodes, if you weren't growing, you'd stop listening. You wouldn't have an interest any longer. But if you're one of those people who went through all the episodes and you go back, the episodes are going to be different. Not because they're different, but because you're different. So today, to celebrate episode 300, and again, this is my fifth year doing these podcasts. I was trying to think, what can I do special about this episode? So what I decided to do, and I don't know how special it'll be, but it's just what I decided to do. So I hope you guys will get some value out of it. Actually, I know you will. What I decided to do is I got one bookshelf. One of the shelves on my bookshelf has the books, most of the books, they won't all actually fit on there, but it has most of the books from the three authors who've probably influenced me the most. And those three authors are Stephen R. Covey, John Maxwell, and Napoleon Hill. That one bookshelf that's got these three authors on it, it's got over 28 books. Now, I ain't talking about the whole bookshelf. You know, the bookshelf I'm talking about, it ain't that big. It's got three shelves on it. The bottom shelf on that specific bookshelf has books from Stephen Covey, John Maxwell, Napoleon Hill. So what I decided to do for this 300th episode, I decided to pull three of those books. And I was somewhat limited because all of them don't have 300 pages. But I decided to pull three of my favorite books off of that shelf and look at page 300 and share with you what's on that page. And also reflect, how have I been doing on applying that? Because I always tell you guys, I don't just read books. I learn from books and I apply what's in the books. So, you know, I haven't done this till I'm actually recording this in the morning on a Sunday morning. I got up with this idea. I went and grabbed three books that I really like that had 300 pages in it. Looked at page 300, checked them out. I said, this is pretty interesting because I'm actually living and applying and teaching the stuff from these pages. And I didn't do it on purpose. It's just the way it is. I probably could do that on any of these books, on any of the pages. And most likely going to find out that I'm living and teaching what's in these books, because that's been a mission of mine. Not just these books. Any books I find value in, though, I get serious about it, applying it. So again, I know a lot of you listen to my podcast. I highly encourage you, if you listen to my podcast, especially if you've listened to all of them, I hope you're listening to my audio books, because my podcast is, they're just me talking, unscripted, whatever I want to talk about. Sometimes I'm talking about the books, but I'm not reading you the books. But when I write the books, I put a lot of time into putting a lot of nuggets that flow from one chapter to the next chapter, even within the chapter, They're full of nuggets. Nuggets that you may never hear on this podcast. I may not think about it when I'm talking about it, but when I'm writing a book, I slow down. It's like slow motion. I get to think about it. To write a chapter that you can read in 6 or 7 minutes, one of my 3-page chapters, if you read one of those books, you can read it in 6 or 7 minutes. If you're a fast reader, probably 5 minutes or less. But it may take me an hour or two to actually put that chapter together. So if you're not listening to my audiobooks, you're getting a lot from the podcast, but you're missing a lot because those books, powerful. But me personally, I like to read a real book. But I listen to them on audio too, but I get the real book because I want to go back and I want to mark them up and fold the pages. Just like every one of these books I'm about to share with you. Page 300 was already marked up. Not everything that I'm going to share with you was marked. I'll let you know what I marked when I read it. And these books, I initially read them around 7 Habits. I'll go ahead and tell you the 3 books I'm going to share with you. First book by Stephen R. Covey, I'm going to share with you, The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. I'm going to flip it to page 300. But that was the first book that I ever discovered. And again, it was a 1-hour audio highlight of the book. That happened in 2008. In the second book I'm going to share with you, page 300, is from Stephen R. Covey's book, The 8th Habit. That at the time I wasn't writing in the cover when I actually read a book, so this one doesn't have the date. I do that now. I open the cover and write down when I start a book, when I finish a book, I write down the date, but that book doesn't have that in there because it's one of the earliest books I read, maybe even the second book that I read. I really can't remember now, but it was probably probably around 2010 when I read that book. And I'm going to share with you page 300 from a book from John Maxwell. It's called The 360 Degree Leader. And I was writing by that time, and it has August 30th, 2014. So these books, sharing these books with you, been a long time since I first read them, but I've been applying that stuff. If you listen to all my podcasts, you're going to know it because you're going to hear some of the same stuff you've heard before. But again, I haven't done this before, so it's going to be a little different kind of podcast. So what I'm going to do right now, I'm going to open up 7 Habits of Highly Effective People by Stephen M. R. Covey. And actually, the subtitle of that book is Powerful Lessons in Personal Change. So I'm going to open it up to page 300. And as I do this, like this particular book, when I open it to page 300, I'm in the middle of a chapter. So I'm going to just back up to page 299. But basically, it's page 300. It's got just a little on 299. So I'm going to back up and catch up so I can tell you, what's on this page. And as I open all 3 of these books, page 300 is on the left, 301 is on the right. So I may tell you a little bit of what's on 301. But the basic principle is open this book to page 300, share some stuff with you for this 300th episode. So as I'm looking at this, the section, the paragraph is about scripting others. Scripting. It says here, Dr. Covey, I'm going to read you quite a bit from these pages. And I'm going to share my thoughts. But Dr. Covey says, most people are a function of their social mirror, scripted by the opinions, the perceptions, the paradigms of the people around them. As interdependent people, you and I come from a paradigm which includes the realization that we are a part of that social mirror. And just to tell you, paradigm is just your frame of reference, how you see the world. Dr. Covey continues, he says, we can choose to reflect back to others a clear, undistorted vision of themselves. We can affirm their proactive nature and treat them, and I'm starting page 300 at this moment, as responsible people. So now you see why I need to back up just a little to catch up. So now we're on page 300 of the 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. He continues, he says, we can help script them as principle-centered, value-based, independent, worthwhile individuals. And I underlined this sentence right here, highlighted it. This is Dr. Covey's words. and with an abundance mentality. We realize that giving a positive reflection to others in no way diminishes us. So I'm going to go back. I'm going to read the first sentence he says, and then the second sentence he said, but the second one is the one I underlined at the time that I read this. He says, we can help script them, meaning other people, as principle-centered, value-based, independent, worthwhile individuals. And then the second part of that I highlighted at the time I read it, and with an abundance mentality, we realize that giving a positive reflection to others in no way diminishes us. And I'm going to continue with his paragraph. He says, it increases us because it increases the opportunities for effective interaction with other proactive people. So it's pretty powerful because this is the first book I pulled off the shelf. I open it to page 300. First thing I see, basically, that's the first two complete sentences. Those two sentences is exactly what I do on these podcasts. It's exactly what I do when I meet people. It's exactly what I try to do through my books when people are reading my books. Because I want to help script other people to be principle-centered. That's what I've become. That's what I know will help launch you to the next level and beyond. I want to help you become value-based. You guys hear me talk about values all the time. You hear me talk about principles all the time. And the next word there is, he says, independent, worthwhile individuals. I want you to become independent because you can't choose to be interdependent, meaning you work well and effectively with and through others until you're independent. And too many people out there are actually dependent, meaning they're waiting on someone else to save their day. They're depending on other people. So you got to become independent in an effort to become interdependent. So that's pretty cool. I'm going to continue on with the next paragraph, page 300. He says that sometime in your life, you probably had someone believe in you when you didn't believe in yourself. They scripted you. Did that make a difference in your life? You go back and listen to episode 66, I think it is. You'll hear me share some story about that exact thing right there. It's where in 1995, an engineer come out in the middle of the night by 2 o'clock in the morning. I didn't know him. He didn't know me. He was there to do a time study, a work study on my machine because I was highly efficient on that machine. The plant manager sent him out to learn from me there, to study me. And he believed in me, and he expressed that belief. And the craziest thing is I never thought I'd go back to school after I graduated high school. After that conversation, I ended up signing up for the next semester or quarter, whatever it was called back then, in a technical college, a community college, and started working on my formal education. The next paragraph, he says, what if you were a positive scripter and affirmer of other people? When they're being directed by the social mirror to take the lower path, remember the social mirror is all the people around you. What they're reflecting back at you. It may not be accurate, but a lot of people live out of that mirror. He says, though, when they're being directed by the social mirror to take the lower path, you inspire them toward a higher path because you believe in them. You listen to them and empathize with them. You don't absolve them of responsibility. You encourage them to be proactive, which means help them take responsibility. I want to share a story right here, then I got to get in the other book. I'm realizing now I could talk about one of these books, page 300, for the whole 30-minute episode, so I'm going to have to shorten it up a bit. But I want to share a story Dr. Covey shares here on page 300. I'm going to just read it complete. So four chapters here. He says, perhaps you are familiar with the musical Man of La Mancha. It's a beautiful story about a medieval knight who meets a woman of the street, a prostitute. She's being validated in her lifestyle by all of the people in her life. But this poet knight sees something else in her, something beautiful and lovely. He also sees her virtue, and he affirms it. over and over again. He gives her a new name. I don't even know how to say it. It's D-U-L-C-I-N-E-A. I'm going to say Dulcinea. A new name associated with a new paradigm. At first, she utterly denies it. Her old scripts are overpowering. She writes him off as a wild-eyed fantasizer. But he is persistent. He makes continual deposits of unconditional love, and gradually it penetrates her scripting. He goes down into her true nature, her potential, and she starts to respond. Little by little, she begins to change her lifestyle. She believes it, and she acts from her new paradigm to the initial dismay of everyone else in her life. Later, when she begins to revert to her old paradigm, he calls her to his deathbed and sings that beautiful song, The Impossible Dream. Looks her in the eyes and whispers, "Never forget your Dulcinea." So basically, he was helping her re-script her life, become somebody she wasn't. The social mirror was validating who she was. Everyone else saw her as who she was. But in this story, someone saw her differently, and it changed her. It happened to me that night in 1995. I try to be that person in other people's life. Definitely in my wife Rhea's life, if you know her personal story of being sexually abused by her father from age 12 to 19. If you don't know her story, go to Rhea's story, R-I-A-S-T-O-R-Y.com. Look at the TEDx menu button, T-E-D-X, and watch her 7-minute video of her story. It'll blow you away if you don't know about it. All right. About halfway through my time on this episode, I'm going to grab the 8th habit. Get it opened up here to page 300. And when I open that, pretty interesting. It's actually the 8th habit by Dr. Stephen R. Covey. That's the title of the book, The 8th Habit. The subtitle is From Effectiveness to Greatness. And I'm going to tell you, all three books that I'm sharing with you today, nearly every page is folded up for me and highlighted. I'm talking cover to cover. And these books have probably 400 pages each. So, The 8th Habit. I'm going to just start off reading what's at the top. It actually opens at the beginning of a paragraph, so I don't have to back up in this one. He says, "It has generally been my experience that the very top people of truly great organizations are servant leaders." You hear me talk about that all the time. So it's interesting to go, he goes straight to it right in this first sentence of the paragraph. "They are the most humble, the most reverent, the most open, the most teachable, the most respectful, the most caring." And any references back to some earlier content here, but it still has meaning, even though we're not going to cover that content. He says, as mentioned earlier in the chapter, Jim Collins, one of the authors of the highly influential book, Built to Last, and author of the more recent, Good to Great, conducted a 5-year research project around the question, what catapults an organization from merely good to truly great? His profound conclusion ought to change the way we think about leadership. Here's how he describes level 5 leadership. So I don't want you to confuse Jim Collins, the author of Good to Great and Built to Last. That's not Jimmy Collins that I talk about, who is the president and COO at Chick-fil-A and my personal friend and mentor. These are two different people. So some people get them mixed up. Ever since I've known Jimmy Collins, I've noticed that a lot of people who don't really know either one of these guys get them mixed up and think they're the same person. So they're not. Just wanted to throw that out there since it come to mind as I'm reading it. And also, level 5 leadership, that's completely different than John Maxwell's The 5 Levels of Leadership. Completely different. Everything about it's different. They just have some of the same words, but they're in a different order. And the levels and the description are completely different. So Jim Collins' level 5 leadership is nowhere near the same thing as John Maxwell's The 5 Levels of Leadership, which actually is my second favorite book of all time. But I want to tell you, I want to read you what's down here from Jim Collins. He says, the most powerful transformative executives possess a paradoxical mixture of personal humility and personal will. They are timid and ferocious, shy and fearless. They are rare and unstoppable. Good to great transformations don't happen without level 5 leaders at the helm. They just don't. So he's got an illustration here that shows the level 5 hierarchy. He goes from level 1 to 5 and tells you what they are. I'm going to read them. And this is from Jim Collins' Good to Great. It's an illustration in Covey's 8th Habit book. It's what's on page 300. Level 1 level of leadership. This is how the leader is. Highly capable individual. Makes productive contributions through talent, knowledge, skills, and good work habits. Level 2, contributing team member. And let me just say, level 1, highly capable individual, I got a book for that called Blue Collar Leadership, Leading from the Front Lines. Level 2, contributing team member, contributes to the achievement of group objectives, works effectively with others in a group setting. I've got a book for that, Blue Collar Leadership and Teamwork, 30 Traits of High Impact Players. The reason I'm sharing I've got books for this is I'm just sharing what I've done, how it applies to page 300 of this book. I mean, I got books for every one of these levels without even understanding it or knowing it. It's just happened through my growth. Level 3, competent manager, organizes people and resources toward effective and efficient pursuit of predetermined objectives. I got a book for that, Blue Collar Leadership and Supervision, Unleash Your Team's Potential. And I got to say, in this level 5 leadership, what I see is really this is about management. What I'm writing about is about leadership. In that book, there is some leadership stuff, but I see it mostly as management. So you got to beware when you read that book that you're going to be learning a lot of management. You got to have management skills, but I write and talk about leadership. So at these levels, I got a book for these levels relative to leadership, not management. Level 4, effective leader. Catalyzes commitment to and vigorous pursuit of a clear and compelling vision. Stimulates the group to high performance standards. Got a book for that called 10 Values of High Impact Leaders. Level 5, again, these are the levels of From Good to Great by Jim Collins. Level 5, executive level. Builds enduring greatness through a paradoxical combination of personal humility plus professional will. And again, these levels I just read to you and descriptions, to me, they're more management than leadership. But to me, that book's more management than leadership. And it's good stuff. It's just management. But you got to see it as management of things and not try to apply it as management of people. But I got a book for the level 5 executive called Blue Collar Leadership and Culture, The 5 Components for Building High Performance Teams. So I got a book for each one of those levels that really relate to management. I got a book for those levels that relate to leadership. So I want to read some more of what Covey says here to relate to that. He says, when people with a formal authority or position power refuse to use that authority and power except as a last resort, their moral authority increases because it is obvious that they have subordinated their ego and position power and used reasoning, persuasion, kindness, empathy, and in short, trustworthiness instead. You hear Covey talking about moral authority. If you listen to my podcast long enough, you hear me always talking about moral authority versus formal authority in all kinds of ways. So you're hearing some background where I started learning all this stuff, but I didn't just read it. I applied it. I lived it. I got examples of it. I got books about it. Don't just read books. Don't just listen to podcasts. So let's jump into the 360 leader from John Maxwell. The subtitle, Developing Your Influence from Anywhere in the Organization. So I flip it to 300, and I see he's starting in the middle of a paragraph. So I'm gonna flip back to 299, got a sentence starting there. He says, once when I was teaching leaders at a large corporation, one of the events organized stated from the platform that people were their organization's most appreciable asset. I applauded his sentiment, but I also expanded on it for the leaders in the room. His statement is true only if you develop those people. And again, these are the words of John Maxwell in the 360 Degree Leader. He continues, John says, it takes a lot of effort to develop leaders. The first question a top leader usually asks is, what is it going to cost? And this is John Maxwell's words. I'm continuing. John says, my answer is, whatever amount it costs, it won't be as high as the cost of not developing your people. John continues, once again, I have a question for you. Ask yourself, am I committed to providing resources for leadership development? So you've heard me all the time say, I don't worry about ROI. I know. You've heard me say, if you listen to all my podcasts, people call me and when they're leaders and they start talking about the cost, what I know is they don't know very much about leadership. They may know a lot about management if they worried about the cost, but if they worried about the cost, they're calling to me and they're talking about the cost. What's the return on their investment? All that type thing. I'm talking to a manager of people, not a leader of people. I already know, most likely, they're not going to be my client. My clients value developing people. All they got to know is, do they have enough money to order and pay for some books to get me up there to speak when they're talking to me? They don't have to know about the ROI. They want to develop people. John Maxwell says, middle of the page here, he says, place a high value on leadership. He says, people who run a one-person business may not have to worry about leadership. I say they do, because they got to lead themselves well. But he continues, but for people who lead organizations, leadership is always an issue. Anytime you have two or more people working together, leadership comes into play. In some organizations, all the emphasis is placed on effort, and leadership isn't even on people's radar. What a mistake. So what he said right there, in some organizations, all the emphasis is placed on effort. What can we do? How can we do it? How can we improve doing it? And leadership isn't even on people's radar. And it's what I tell you all the time. Most organizations have never done leadership. And I forgot to share with you in the eighth habit here in the 360 degree leader. I've been forgetting to share with you what I highlighted like I did the first time. But one of the things I highlighted from this page was, let me back up here, was people were their organization's most appreciable asset. And I underlined this. That statement is true only if you develop these people. And I talked about and underlined, what is it going to cost? Whatever amount it costs, it won't be as high as the cost of not developing your people. So it's pretty powerful. I just want to share something from page 301 here. We're going to wrap up this 300th episode. I'm looking across the page, and he says, look for potential leaders. These are the words of John Maxwell. He says, if leadership is on your radar and you value it, you will continually be on the lookout for potential leaders. Several years ago, I did a lesson. Again, this is John Maxwell's words. Sounds maybe like me talking, but I'm reading it from the book. Several years ago, I did a lesson for one of my leadership development clubs that taught leaders what to look for in potential leaders. It was called Searching for Eagles. And for many years, it was one of our most requested lessons. These are the top 10 characteristics of eagles. This is John speaking still. These are his top 10 characteristics of eagles, meaning people who have high potential. They make things happen. They see opportunities. They influence the opinions and actions of others. They add value to you. They draw winners to them. They equip other eagles to lead. They provide ideas that help the organization. They possess an uncommonly great attitude. They live up to their commitments. They show fierce loyalty to the organization and the leader. As you begin to search for potential leaders, look for people who possess these qualities. Meanwhile, ask yourself, am I continually looking for potential leaders? So I'm switching back to my thoughts now because we're about to wrap up. But what I just read to you is exactly what I do. I haven't opened this book in many, many years. If you listen to my podcast, you hear me doing this. I'm trying to grow and develop eagles. I'm trying to attract eagles. There's certain people I speak to, I coach and mentor because I see them as eagles. Going back to the eighth habit, I may be helping them re-script themselves. They may not see themselves as eagles, but I do because I know what I'm looking for. So you can see the three lessons from these three books from page 300. They all tie together. They all tie to who I am, what I've become, what I'm striving to be, what I'm trying to help you be. So I hope you found value in this episode 300. It was pretty fun. What I realized is I could do a 30-minute episode on about every page of every book I've ever read. I won't live that long, folks. Talk to you next time.
Make it happen or someone else will. It might as well be you. Are you serious about taking your career and your life to the next level and beyond? Check out Max Story's Blue Collar Leadership Series books and others, now available on audio, along with paperback and ebooks at Amazon, iTunes, and Audible. Please visit BlueCollarLeadership.com to learn about Max's books, programs, special offers, certifications, and more. Thank you for listening to the Blue Collar Leadership Podcast.